the Lord had inspired me with about praying for our loved ones.
Yes.
He inspired me about a persevering prayer.
Yes.
For the lost.
Amen.
God is so good to us.
Oh yes.
He is so very good.
Yes. Amen.
I had to wait for 40 years for one, for 37 years for another, and for 35 years for the other. That's a long time.
Yes.
But we have to hold on.
Yes.
We have to hold on.
Yes.
The Lord knows what He's doing, and He knows how to work. We want to cover some scriptures this morning to encourage us and help us to know how to keep going and how to frame our thoughts and how to exercise our minds and our hearts towards the lost. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise,
yes,
as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance." Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you believe He's not willing that any perish? No matter how bad they've been, no matter what they've done, no matter the horrible things they may have committed, do you believe that God is still looking down for a way for them to be able to be reunited with Him? He's not willing that any of them perish. He doesn't want them to perish. He wants that even more than we do sometimes. Sometimes we can get weary. And we can get to a point to where if we're not careful, we will feel like they deserve something. They should have something, you know, they need something happen. We were discussing in Sunday school this morning.
Yes.
How sometimes you know, the thought can cross your mind. They need lightning to strike them. They need something to happen. They need this, they need that to wake them up. But God's not willing that any of them perish.
Amen.
He's not willing that any of them end up away from Him and separated from Him. And He depends. God depends on our prayers. I cannot tell you what the mystery is between our prayers and God being able to work on this earth. But there is a mystery involved.
Yes, that's so.
There is something that works and gives more power to the God to work in this earth when we cover the things with prayer.
Amen.
He depends on us. If there's no one praying, He cannot work like He can when somebody is praying.
Yes.
We were talking this morning in Sunday school about how it used to be that that people would gather together and they would go out and spend time in people's houses to pray and pray them through and different things and to cause things to happen and miracles to happen in their life, physically, emotionally, spiritually.
Yes. Amen.
And we have heard many in years, these last years, we have heard many things. Many times people have said, "Where is all the power there used to be?" And my question to you is where is all the prayer there used to be?
Yes.
We've heard the stories of how that in the old time days when they would be at the camp meetings and how the people, would, the ministers and different ones would go off. They didn't spend their time visiting and all in between services. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. But I'm just saying that they went off, got by themselves, and they prayed. And they prayed power down on the meetings. They prayed power down on things that were happening. And yes, God was able to work. I cannot tell you the mystery of how it works. I can only tell you that it does. So when we cover these things with a persevering prayer, persevering means to continue in a course of action despite difficulty or delay in achieving success.
Amen.
So we wait a long time to see the answer come. That doesn't mean that the prayers aren't working right now.
Amen.
That they're working right now.
Amen.
But it may not come to fruition for several years. Yes. Maybe many years. But it's already working.
Amen.
God is all power. He's not willing that any should perish. Just like we don't want any of ours to perish. He's not willing that any of them perish. We are so thankful this morning that that is true of God.
Amen.
In Romans 2:4, it says, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?"
Yes.
Oh, sometimes we want our children to learn their lessons. And we want our children to suffer this or suffer that until they can learn their lessons. But do you know what it says? The Bible teaches that it's the goodness of God.
Amen.
That leads men to repentance. It is a place where they come to a place where they can see and know and understand that I need help.
Amen.
They can see the goodness of God. Oh, our children, our loved ones are spared from so many things.
Yes.
So many close calls that they've had.
Yes.
That's the goodness of God working in their lives. Because we know the enemy of our souls would want every soul to perish before they can find God. He wants every soul to perish before they can find God. But God's not willing that any of them perish before they find him. That's why he's so long-suffering with the things they do and with the things they say and with the places they go and the things they get involved in. He's so long-suffering because he's not willing. He's just not willing that they perish. They may perish at some point, but he's not willing that it'll happen. And it's his goodness that draws them. And goodness, what does that mean? That means the goodness of God. Sometimes it's manifested in their life and they can see it. And they know that God has blessed them. They know God spared them. They will call you and say, "God spared me. I could have been dead except God spared me." They recognize it. They know the goodness of God. And God lets them see that because he wants to draw them to himself. Why? Because he's not willing that they spend eternity separated from him.
Right.
They're going to have an afterlife.
Yeah.
Everyone has an afterlife.
That's right.
Everyone does. But he wants yours to be with him.
Amen.
So that he can be a comfort and a help and a blessing. And so that you can enjoy all the fullnesses and richness of God. That's what he wants. I'm so thankful this morning that he's like that. That the goodness of God leads men to repentance. Do you remember how the goodness of God led you? Do you remember? Think back over where it was. Do you remember the goodness of God leading you, guiding you to repentance? How many times did you resist? And how many times did you push off? And how many times did it happen to where you didn't want to hear, you didn't want to listen, you didn't want to hear what they were going to say? But God pressed on, and he impressed, and he spoke to you in the night, and sometimes he kept you awake, and you reasoned with him, and talked with him, and even though maybe sometimes you didn't want to, because we didn't want to change our lives. Sometimes we don't want to give up some things in life. They're bad for us in the end, but right now we don't see the dangers of it.
That's right.
But Lord is so good to us, showing us his goodness and how it led us to repentance. Well, his goodness is going to lead them to repentance too. And sometimes they see the goodness of God in your life. They see it in your life. They see how God works for you and how he brings you out of your temptations and brings you out of your suffering, brings you out of all kinds of difficulties and trials. And many times our loved ones and different ones, they marvel at how you go through, at how you can stand this or how you can go through this. And they'll even ask questions from time to time. But they find out the answer is always the same. God knows.
Yes.
After a while, they don't ask you that anymore. They don't ask you how you got through it because they know what you're going to say. The point is that God is dealing with them all the time through your life, through your witness, through what is happening with you. God is so good. So he's not willing that any perish, and his goodness draws us to him. Then we want to go on to Luke 11, 9 through 10. "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you."
Yes.
Ask. Oh, you know, we need to ask for the things that we desire in life, not only in our personal lives, but for the lives of others. We need to ask for it. We need to ask, Lord, you see this child or this relative or somebody that I love that is struggling and having problems. And so we need to ask him.
Amen.
Ask him for it. Ask him to help them. Ask him to reveal himself to them. Ask him to show them the way of how to get out from underneath these burdens and trials and things of life. And ask him to show his goodness to them. We need to ask. And it says, the scripture says, if you ask, it shall be given you.
Yes.
Oh, but you know where we get held up? We realize that those around us, they have an opportunity to say no. And so we think that since they have an opportunity to say no, that we can't ask for their souls. Because, in other words, it won't be given to us because they have to say yes. But listen, dear ones, we have to exercise faith to believe that God is going to bring about the situations and circumstances that it can be answered. We have to exercise faith. The more faith that we have, the more we get out of God. The more that we receive from God, the more faith that we exercise. And it says, seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. These are promises. These are promises to you. This is not just, I want something today. These are you're looking for serious things. You're looking for help, for answers, for souls. You're looking for God to really help you.
Amen.
And he has given us these promises and let us know that you can have these things. These are the promises unto my children. These are my promises. He says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that looketh, it shall be opened.
Yes.
Oh, there have been so many close ones to us that we have talked to through the years. And I talked to my sons through the years. And they would say, I've tried. I've sought him. I prayed. They tell you a lot of things. But it didn't happen. It didn't work. And we know that God is not a God that does that. But are they asking for the right reasons? Do you know we have to ask for the right reasons?
Yeah.
We can't ask to just consume it upon our own lust. I want a new car. I want a new job. I want this. I want that. That's not the kind of asking he's talking about. That's not the kind of seeking or the knocking that he's talking about. He's talking about serious life-altering things in our lives and people's lives that we can seek for and get what we need. That's what he's talking about. And the more faith that we exercise, we should never, ever have an idea of faith. We should never have an idea of faith that says that I just don't believe so-and-so can ever happen. Do you know that those are words you should not ever, ever speak? You should never speak those. You should seek the Lord and exercise faith in him. Yes, you may not see how it can ever happen, but God is all-seeing. God is all-powerful. God can move circumstances. See, you can't move circumstances. So you think it has to stay this way forever, but that is not what God does. God moves circumstances. He moves people. He moves things around on this earth to accomplish his purpose. So there is no reason for us to ever say, I don't believe this can happen, because it can. God can do something about it. We have several here in the congregation, and I hope they won't be upset if I call their name. But Sister Brenda got saved in her older age.
Yes.
Sister Willie got saved in their older age.
Amen.
How many years did their parents pray for them?
Right.
And did they live to see it happen? Sometimes they do and sometimes they don't.
That's so.
Did it make their prayers of none effect?
No.
Did they believe even as they were going out of this earth? Was that still their prayer? Lord, save them. Yeah. Save them at any cost. Yeah. Did they ever just give up and say, there's no way this one is ever going to get saved. They're this old now and it's never going to happen. Is that what they did? No. Did you see that? Did you see examples of that? No. You saw the exact opposite of that. You saw examples that they held on and held on till the answer came. Oh, but see, logic says, if it's up to the other person's will, then how can we have exercise faith to believe that God can save them when they can say no? Because God is all powerful. Because God can move them. According to your prayers, according to your faith, He can move circumstances. He can work with things until He can get them to the point to where they will say yes. Do you know that God wants them all to say yes? He wants all mankind to say yes. He would like for all mankind to get along here on earth, let alone later. But He will have a perfect kingdom later. Because everybody will that goes there will have said yes. All of them will have already said yes to the Father. And yes, I accept the sacrifice of the Son. And yes, I will let You rule over me. And run my life. And so His kingdom will be perfect. It will be a perfect kingdom where we live. It's a wonderful thing. Luke 18, 3 through 8. This is about the widow. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto Him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. She went to the judge. She had an adversary. She had a problem. She had something that was taking place. She was being mistreated, abused, whatever. And she wanted to be avenged. And He would not for a while. But afterward He said within Himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man. In other words, I'm not a just person. And I don't really care. And I don't really fear God. And I don't really care what really happens in this. But He says, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear. The Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Hear what He said. Hear what He said. And shall not God avenge His own elect, that which cry night, day, and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? Won't He do that? If you have somebody that's willing to do it just to get a little rest, but God is faithful and just, isn't He going to come? Isn't He going to avenge? Isn't He going to answer? Isn't He going to give the things you're seeking for? Isn't He going to do everything in His power to move heaven and earth for your requests?
Yes.
I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? This is Jesus talking.
Yes.
Shall He find faith on the earth? Nevertheless, I mean, this is the kind of God this is the kind of Father I have. Yes, He's going to avenge you. Yes, He's going to take care of it. Yes, He's going to hear your prayers and answer. But nevertheless, am I going to find faith like that when I come back? Am I going to have that kind of faith working? Oh, dear ones, you can see over the years how that kind of faith has eroded. It has eroded.
Lord, help us.
You can remember what your grandmother said, the older saints that are dead and gone, and the things they said, and the things that they hung on for, and the things that they said, don't give up, keep praying. Amen. You remember those things they said? Some of them went to their graves still praying.
Yes.
And the answer didn't come till after they were gone. But the answers came. God is a faithful God. So what it is we have to keep going forward. We have to keep praying. We have to keep allowing God to work in our lives. We have to keep allowing Him to rule and reign over us. And we never give up our prayers. We never give up our requests. all those things that are needful in people's lives, all those things that are needful in our children and our relatives' lives. We never give up asking. We never give up expecting God to do something. If we go to God in prayer and we ask for something, but we don't expect it to happen, do you believe that God will answer that? Do you believe that we can expect it to happen and that we'll never see it? Yes. But that God will never move? Oh, yes, He moves. You may not ever see it. You're praying for your loved one and you're praying and everything, and God is working behind the scenes.
Yes.
You have no idea what is going through their mind.
So
you have no idea what God is, how He's working and how He's dealing with them. But He is working. You may not see it because they don't want you to see it. They don't want you to see it. They hide it. They don't talk about it. They throw up a lot of other things. They throw up all of these philosophical ideas about why I kind of believe in God and I believe there's a higher power, but I'm not sure He's really works in people's lives. Oh, I think religion is a crutch. Just weak people need it. I think that it's a propaganda and that it's just something to control people. I mean, have you heard any of these? And you've probably heard a lot more besides that.
Right.
These are all the things that are that people talk about and hear about and think about. But there are other things that they hear and they think and they see and they don't talk about. And those are the things that God is talking to them about. Because it goes against what they've been talking about.
Yes.
And it goes against, so they're not ready to talk about it. But you ask anybody that has gotten saved, anybody that has given their heart to God and is living for God now, and you ask them, how was God dealing with you back then? They'll start telling you, well, this happened and that happened and there was this and that. And they say, but weren't you saying you didn't even believe in God? Yeah, I was. But this was happening and that was happening and this... You find out God is more powerful than man. God is more powerful than his thoughts. God is more powerful than all of their powers against God and their reasonings against God and the way they think about it and their mindsets against God. God is more powerful than all those things.
Amen.
He would not be justified in the end to separate the people and say, you are blessed, come into the kingdom and say, you rejected me and you can't come.
Oh.
He would not be justified in doing that if he didn't know how he had dealt with them all along.
Oh, Lord, help us.
How they rejected him all along. How they kept saying and spewing all of this philosophy all along. But he knows when he touched them. He knows when he enlightened them. He knows when he got a truth over to them. He knows when there was a crack in their armor and they realized that there was something else that was here. There's another power working here. He knows. He can't be fooled. We can be fooled.
Yes.
All we hear is what they say. But God knows the very thoughts and intents of their hearts.
Yes.
He goes after them because he's not willing that any should perish. And he tries to draw them to himself through his goodness.
Amen.
He gives them examples. He saves other family members, saves mothers and fathers to show things to the sons and daughters. He saves children to show things to parents. He saves children to help other children, to help other people. All of it works.
Yes. Amen.
To enlighten people of the great change that is taking place. It is a wonderful thing what God does. Matthew 15, 22 through 29. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. He answered not a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. In other words, she's following behind and she's calling out. Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is vexed with the devil. She didn't say it once. Nobody answered her. Nobody sought her. Nobody wanted anything for her. But she didn't give up.
Amen.
She didn't give up. And he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." See, she was from Canaan.
Yes.
I was sent to the lost sheep of Israel first. This is where my ministry was to be. This is where it was to work. This is where I was going to die. This is where it was going to all happen. I wasn't sent out there to the other places. I was sent here. Then came she and worshipped him.
Yes.
Now, what do you think it means that she worshipped him? I think that she got close down and just fell on her face. Don't you think?
Yes.
Can't you imagine that? She just came and fell down on her face. And she said, "Lord, help me."
Yes.
I want you to know something. Sometimes that's about all we can say.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
You can't explain it. You don't have any more words. You don't have any more thoughts. You've poured out all you know to pour out. You're at the end of, so to speak, your rope, and all you could get out is, "Lord, help me."
Amen.
I don't even know how to express. I don't even know what I need help with.
Right.
I just know that I'm desperately in need. But he answered and said, now this time he did talk to her.
Yes.
She'd thrown herself at his feet. He did talk to her then. He says, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs."
Yes.
In other words, the children, his chosen people, God's chosen people that he had worked with down through the history of time, and that he had given his law to and sent the prophets to. That's who he was sent to. And the other peoples of the earth worship idols, had horrible practices in all their worship rites and everything. They were truly, truly evil in their worship and in their religions. And he called them dogs.
Yes.
Listen. You ever been called a really bad name? Sometimes we're deserving. Do you know that? Sometimes somebody can call us a name and we're deserving. Sometimes we're not. Should they ever say it? Probably they should never say it. But God can use things. Here, he used this. He says, "I can't take what my father has intended to go to the Israelite nation. I can't take that and give it to you. I wasn't sent to do that." And she said, "Truth, truth." She just agreed.
Yeah.
You know that it says in the Bible to agree quickly with your adversary.
Yes.
The one that you're trying to entreat to, the one that you're trying to work something out with, somebody that's against you, just agree with him quickly. She said, "Truth, Lord."
Yes.
But then she went further and she says, "But you know those dogs? Even the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And then I want you to take note of what Jesus said. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith.
Amen.
See, it didn't look like it could happen. He didn't answer her. The disciples tried to send her away. He wouldn't answer. He said that he couldn't do it because it was for the Israelites and that her nation were dogs. I can't give it to the dogs. But her faith said, "He is the God that can do something for me.
Amen.
He is that one that can help me. He has helped others, and he can help me."
Yes.
And I need this blessing. And I'm just going to agree with him. Yes, but, Lord.
Amen.
He says, great is thy faith. That you just keep coming back and coming back. See, like that widow woman that wanted to be avenged. Just kept coming back and coming back and coming back.
Yes.
Have you been doing that for somebody for a while?
Oh, Lord.
Amen.
But this is what he said. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. He said, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour.
Praise God.
Do you know that when a soul anywhere, at any time, under any conditions, cries out to God and says, God, help me.
Amen.
That God is attentive, he hears, and he works on them right there. He helps them right there. He blesses them right there. He is moved by people that cry out to him and say, help me. He is moved by faith because they have faith in a higher power and a God, because that's why they're crying out. Because they have faith to believe God can and will do this. He's moved by it. He said, great is thy faith. Great. He couldn't resist it. He gave her something that he wasn't supposed to give.
Yes.
Think about that. She moved him to give her something that she wasn't supposed to receive.
Thank the Lord.
Because of her continual coming.
Amen.
Because of her faith.
Thank
because
God.
Of her humility. Because she said, yes, I don't deserve it. We've been horrible people. When she said, even the dogs, when she admitted she was a dog, she was admitting that, yes, we've been a horrible nation.
Yes.
We've done all these bad things. But Lord, help me.
Amen.
Help me.
Yes.
It is a wonderful thing.
Yes.
When God comes to our rescue like that.
Yes. Thank God.
Aren't you glad that we have a God that hears us? That he takes note of what we pray for?
Yes, he does. Amen.
That through our prayers, some kind of a way, a mystery works that helps all of the powers of heaven, all of the armies of heaven, to be able to come and back and work on our behalf and the ones we're praying for's behalf.
Yes.
It works like that.
Yes. Amen.
And we need to visualize it. You know what I mean? Visualize it.
Yes.
Imagine what that looks like. The army, the hosts of heaven. And I'm here, this little feeble person, on my knees somewhere, crying out. This woman was on her face before God, before Jesus. And she says, help me. And I can picture all of the hosts of that kingdom centered around this one little soul.
Yeah.
Can't you just picture it in your mind? See, that's the way it is.
Thank you, Lord.
All of heaven, he will move heaven and earth to come to your rescue when you call on him and say, help me.
Thank you, Lord.
I need help right now.
Yes.
And when we pray, we ask for others, we pray for them, we fast for them, we pray for them, all the things we do. God uses all of the hosts in heaven to work. And he has the ability to use all the hosts in heaven.
Amen.
To work because of our prayer. Some kind of way, I don't know the mystery of it, but some kind of way, it clears a way for all of it to be able to work right. If my people don't pray,
yes.
See, if they don't pray,
yes.
Nothing happens. Mm-hmm. Nothing happens. He needs that prayer. He needs the prayers. In order for it all to work.
Thank the Lord.
Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Supplication is the action of asking or begging for something earnestly and humbly. That's supplication. And perseverance was already continuing in a course of action. In other words, persevering prayer is continuing in prayer. Despite difficulty, despite delay in achieving success. In other words, I don't give up. I don't quit praying. I don't quit asking. There are many, many people that have asked for many, many years before they received what they were after. They asked for many years, and many of them went to their reward without ever seeing it done. But it's amazing how often, right afterwards, it happens. Right after they're gone. They just missed it by a little. But we see it. And do you know it's left for us to see? It's left for us to see that. So that we, right up till the day we pass out of here, we're still sending up the same prayers. We're not to the place to where, well, Lord, I've waited my whole life and it's never happened. I guess it's never going to happen. See, can't be like that.
No,
we've seen others that pray right up until the end. They're gone, and then their prayers are answered. Oh, God is so good to us. And he wants us to be able to pray through, to what God wants us to have in our own personal lives, and especially for the souls around us.
Amen.
Pray on until the answer comes.
Yes.
Just keep praying. God is not slack concerning his promises.
Amen.
He's just not. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. In other words, worried. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't worry. Hard to do, isn't it, when you see people making a mess of their lives?
Yes.
When you see things going wrong, when you see things aren't going right, when you see they keep making the same kind of decisions over and over and over, when you see all those things. But dear ones, there's a day coming.
Oh, yes.
There's a day of reckoning coming. God is working, regardless of what you see. Oh, isn't it wonderful when ever so often he pulls back the curtain and lets you see God working?
Yeah.
Right? They all of a sudden say something that they never said before.
Yeah.
And you realize, oh, Lord, you have been talking to him.
Amen.
You have been doing that. God does that because he wants us to know. I'm not giving up on your prayers. Don't you give up on them, because I'm not giving up on them. I'm working with them. The more you send up, the more power I have to work in their lives. So keep sending them. Keep praying. Somehow, the mystery works between us as his people and he as God. The two of us together work that he can accomplish all of his purposes in the earth. It works.
Yes, amen.
1 John 3:20 through 22. It says, for if our heart condemns, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things.
Yes.
Beloved, if our heart condemneth not, then have we confidence toward God. And then it says, after that, after what he just said, he said, if our heart condemns us. In other words, we say, oh, I shouldn't have done that. That's your heart condemning you.
Yes.
That's it. Whether you're a sinner or whether you're a saint, whether you're saved or unsaved, when you say, oh, I shouldn't have done that.
Yes.
That's your heart condemning you.
That's right.
That's God working on you and telling you, you should not have done that. That was not wise. That was not good, what you did. And then, when our heart doesn't condemn us, when we have nothing there, when we've given it all over and we've sought our forgiveness from God and we're living a clear life before him and we're not indulging in all the things of the flesh and the things that we were wrapped up in before, when we have a heart that condemns us not, then what happens? The next verse tells us what happens then. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments. We don't do those things that are pleasing in his sight. That's why it works. It's because we're clear. You can't send up prayers and be condemned in your own heart. and then believe that those prayers are going to be answered, even you know, that is impossible. That's why a lot of people don't pray. That's why a lot of people don't do some of the things they should, because they're condemned in their heart. And they know they're not quite doing right. And the thing is, God's put his finger on what it is, but they're not willing to do anything about it, so they're just condemned. And they realize, well, I can't pray, and I can't do this, and I can't this or that. I can't, because I'm condemned. I'm held still right here. I know exactly what I got to do, and I'm not willing to do it. God is so good.
Yes, he is.
But we're going to have to live clear before him for our prayers.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, he will hear somebody that's not living clear. He will hear a prayer for themselves. He will hear when they say, Lord, help me.
Amen.
And he will move heaven and earth to help them right there, to draw them to himself so that they can have full salvation. He'll work that way. But otherwise, he can't answer prayers that are, oh, Lord, you know, in the Old Testament, they used to say the God, father of Abraham and Isaac. And they would call on that relationship because they didn't have one. They didn't have a relationship. So they would call on the father of Abraham, the father of Isaac, because those people had a relationship with him and were living for him and were doing for him. And people today try to do that.
Yes.
They try to come to God. God, you know, God, you know, my mother lives right. And so because my mother lives right, I want you to do something for me right here. But no, you can't do that. It has to be on your own merit. It has to be on your own heart, your own soul. You have to do business with God. You want God's help? You have to surrender to him. You have to give in to him. You have to do business with him. You can't call on the God of your parents and the God of your grandparents and the God of the saints of old. Can't do that. Can't do that. There's religions today that do that. They call on saints of old to help them. That isn't going to work, dear ones. That won't work. You have to do business with God. You have to do something. You have to straighten up your life. You have to do better.
Lord, help us.
But my burden this morning is to never give up.
Amen.
To believe that God can work in this thing when I can't see any way that God can work. He can still work.
Amen.
It's, aren't you glad it's not based on your ability
right.
to see? Because we have a very clouded vision. But God can work in the lives of men and women.
Yes, amen.
And cause things to happen. And it can be the simplest things. Sometimes we can think, oh, they need something really hard, and they need this, or they need that. And then we find out what got a hold of their heart and turned them. And it was the simplest thing.
Thank the Lord.
And we say, Lord, how did that work? We don't know how all that works.
Right.
But God does know. Because, see, he's been dealing with them all along. See, that's what we don't know. He's been talking to them, dealing with them, and working with them and everything. So he gets them right up to the point to where he says this little phrase, lets this one little thing happen, and they're right there ready.
Yes.
He knows how to work that out in a sequence of events.
Amen.
We don't. We don't know how to do that, and we don't see the events taking place. But God does.
Amen.
So ours is to believe that God is capable, and he is definitely willing to save everyone that is here.
Amen.
They will get to choose, but we don't ever give up.
Yes, amen.
Because it may be just around the corner.
Yes.
It may just be another day away. It may just be one more week. It may be one more hour before it happens, but it's going to happen.
Yes, amen.
We need to believe that it's going to happen. We need to have hope. You know what that is? Hope. Until there is a time when there is no more hope, we need to have hope. Because we need to have faith and confidence in our God to work with them to the fullest to bring it about.
Amen.
Amen.